Welcome to the More Than Teeth podcast, where true health transformation begins in the mouth. Join your hosts, Dr. Michael Bennett and Kathy Bennett, as they explore the hidden connection between your mouth and your overall health. From sleep and airway disorders to nutrition and systemic disease, they're on a mission to help patients and healthcare professionals see oral health as the gateway to total well-being. So, let's get started.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Mike Bennett. I'm here with Kathy.
Hello, everyone.
And we are starting a series of airway and wellness episodes. We'd like to dig into that deeper.
Yeah, those two really mesh well together, airway and wellness.
They do. They do. So ask this question to yourself. What if your hygiene exam was the most important health screening that you got all year? No matter, you know, just think about all the screenings you get. What if that was the most important? Because consider this, dental visits are the most consistent point of healthcare access for adults, and nearly two-thirds of U.S. adults see a dentist annually, often more than their physician. In fact, it's interesting that dermatologists actually see more patients than dentists do. So it'd be nice if they did a screening for sleep.
Yeah, every 6 months it's recommended to have a dental visit.
Yeah, so. That's right. And then dentists can observe early signs of sleep-related breathing disorders that often others miss because we're looking in the mouth and the throat area. So these often include tooth imprints on the tongue called scallop tongue, signs of bruxism where you have broken or cracked teeth or worn teeth, crowded teeth, anything that crowds the tongue, crowds the airway, even retrognathic profiles, which means a back-set jaw. Receded chin, those are often associated with it. And then mouth breathing as well.
That's a big one. I think sometimes people don't realize how important our breathing is, but mouth breathing has kind of been on social media lately with different methods to close your mouth, such as taping your mouth when you sleep, those kinds of things. So I think there is becoming an awareness out there of the importance of nasal breathing, but you still see it, especially in kids that are congested. Their mouth is open. So,
For sure. And what you don't realize is the roof of your mouth creates a suction cup for your tongue. And so if you're trying to breathe through there, then the tongue can't suction and it collapses and then you have apnea issues. So the American Dental Association identified that if you don't sleep well, you're more subjected to lots of risks of things like Alzheimer's and cancer and cardiovascular disease. So they recommended that dentists screen all of their patients, not some, but all of their patients for sleep-related breathing disorders. And then let them know, hey, you've been screened and you can do something about it. And I do believe it's going to become the standard of care eventually. I hope it does, at least.
You see that because the American Dental Association, they just had their big annual symposium meeting and it was all about sleep. Disordered breathing and how that ties to overall wellness.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep. I definitely attended that and realized more impactfully than ever that if your sleep isn't working, your health declines and you're always going to be behind the eight ball with your health. So let's talk about the silent epidemic of undiagnosed sleep apnea. It's very much underdiagnosed and widespread. There's research that estimate 38% of adults have risk factors for apnea, or they have apnea and that it's not being treated. And realizing that untreated sleep apnea has comorbidities, which means side effects. If you are not breathing well, then you will have higher risk for hypertension, stroke, diabetes, and cancers. And when you think about family members and what they've passed away from, I think about my own family and they're on that list. They have those things.
You do hear about people that pass away in their sleep and it's heartbreaking. And sometimes that can be related to sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes it is.
Oh yeah. And I'll never forget a patient that scheduled with me to be examined and actually ended up not showing up that Tuesday morning because he had passed away the night before. He was only a 51-year-old male.
Yeah. Heartbreaking. Yeah,
just heartbreaking. So that's why we've got to screen. So untreated sleep apnea contributes to poor healing. So if you're an athlete and you've just sprained your ankle, you're going to have a harder time healing and you're going to have a harder time, even if it does heal, having a quality heal. So your ligaments are going to be more stretched out. if they don't have enough growth hormone prolactin to help create the healing process. But then you're going to be more subjected to chronic pain, depression, and immune dysfunction. Athletes, post-op patients, anyone with systemic illness is going to be more subjected to a magnified version of that condition if their sleep isn't working. I was just thinking about a person I saw not just recently where I'm treating them for headaches, neck pain, jaw pain, and they got done telling me that they only sleep 5 hours a night. And they sleep from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. And so we got into a discussion about, hey, you got to sleep while the sun is down so then your body can really heal. Don't realize that the radiation, the energy from the sun actually activates our nervous system.
Yes. And helps with circadian rhythm, right?
She also said, my husband has a graveyard shift too, and he's wondering if he should quit that. And I said, my vote is yes.
Yes, very hard.
Very much so. But you don't realize that this silent epidemic then is related to a huge economic burden, which is, they've estimated $150 billion that are associated, the costs that deal with accidents, comorbidities of sleep disorders.
Yes, it's prevalent.
Yeah, and they say it's even higher when you think about productivity at work, where employees will come, they just can't think properly, they have to get up and stretch and move, and they're just not getting work done. And then not to mention the accidents that happen on the road.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's very easy to see when you consider all of the drinks, the caffeinated drinks that are consumed.
Yeah, very sleep-deprived population. Okay, now we're going to talk about dentistry being a frontline opportunity and why we often miss it. This has a lot to do with what I researched in my dissertation. So barriers include, and these are some of the things that the dentist told me, and actually what I experienced personally firsthand.
You mean why dentists don't screen their patients for sleep?
Yeah, why they don't screen patients for sleep, because that's not part of our wheelhouse, what we do on a regular basis. We don't get paid for it. But they said, and I agree, the barriers include that we just don't have enough time, we lack the training, and we're confused about what our role is. Do we diagnose it? Do we just screen it and refer? What is exactly going on? And then they're also unsure about their scope being perceived as something outside of the scope of dentistry, where a patient coming in wouldn't ever think, well, I'm excited for my dentist to screen me for sleep.
Yeah, that's a new, but it really is the new wave of dentistry. So I think more people are becoming aware that the dentist is the best person, truly the best person to screen for sleep. Mm-hmm. But the word still is not out to everyone. And so I've had people even ask me, why would a dentist screen for sleep? That seems so odd. Mm-hmm. And then after you explain that they are the expert in the head and the neck and the mouth, the whole face, all of those things, then they understand, oh, well, I guess he is the most qualified for that type of work.
Well, and that's why we often miss doing our responsibility. We're worried about that social pressure that we've got to stay in our lane. Don't do anything outside, and then just kind of keep the status quo. But also the staff resists that too. It's difficult to get out of the routine of regular dentistry to stop and screen someone and then talk to them about their sleep problems. But there's ways to do it really efficiently too. Those that were successful at it could get in and get out and then not really mess up their schedule.
Wouldn't you say the education and getting your team, your staff on board was the number one thing in trying to get them on board?
Yeah, certainly the dentist has to have the vision of, hey, this means something to me. Those dentists who had a family member who had problems with sleep apnea or passed away from it and they felt like they could have done something earlier on to help prevent the disease, those are the ones that especially on a mission to make sure that that doesn't happen to their patients, or at least give their patients the chance to recognize it and do something about it.
I love that it truly is just watching out for your patients and not just to try to get money. It really is trying to help the patients live a healthier life and a longer life, better quality life.
A huge value add for that hygiene appointment. Okay, so we want to share some insights from the research that I conducted for my PhD. Most dentists know sleep matters, but don't act due to time pressure, lack of training, and role confusion. And it's interesting, there's a theory of planned behavior that essentially has a few points in that the dentist will ask themselves, well, do my peers expect that I screen? You know, is there some kind of professional expectation that I should be screening? And do I really believe that I should be screening for sleep disorders? And then if I do screen, what are the outcomes on that? So if any of those are, hey, no, I'm not sure, I don't feel the real impetus to do it, then the behavior will be, I'm not going to screen. Or the intention will be, it may be high, like I understand it, but they won't do it because the expectation professionally isn't there. And it's currently not there. I'm in a partnership and my partners and I, we struggle. Even I sometimes will fall into old habits and not screen. So there's definitely a perceived behavioral control and unclear roles that limit that follow through for screening. So training and referral pathways change everything. When a dentist is educated about the workflow, they're far more likely to screen. So if I have a good physician that I know that I can screen my patient and then refer them to, and then have a seamless transition and then have communication back from the physician on the patient, then it's much easier to build the value and send the patient and then to realize that they won't get lost in the process.
Yeah. And you actually don't make a diagnosis. Is that correct?
Dentists don't diagnose, but they can screen. And that's a good point in that dentists will need to realize that they aren't diagnosing when they screen. They're simply identifying risk factors and then making a proper referral, you know, for that.
That makes it a lot less scary, I think, for the dentist if they know that all they are doing is referring out and just explaining what they're seeing, the risk factors that they're seeing.
Yeah, yeah. And I've also realized that there's so many benefits for the dental team to do the screening from a dental standpoint, because we know from the research that a person has less periodontal disease and less cavities if they have their sleep apnea treated.
Yes.
So all of our therapies that we're working so hard to do will be magnified, better outcomes if we also treat the sleep on top of that.
Well, and you know that sleep is one of the foundational pillars for overall health. I'm a health coach, and it is something I ask my clients every single week in their check-in is, how was your sleep? Are you getting between 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night? And most people do not. Once they're really cognizant of it and trying to do it, then it becomes better. It's like anything else that you're, you know, if you're tracking food, you are more careful about what you're eating. If you're tracking sleep, if you're tracking how much water you drink, if you're tracking your exercise, all those things, when you become aware of it, that it's important and that you need to get a certain amount, then you will start paying more attention. But sleep drives immune repair and tissue healing and emotional regulation. We all know that when you don't get enough sleep, you kind of have a brain fog and you're just not as with it. You're not as sharp mentally or physically sharp. So fragmented or hypoxic sleep, that disrupts healing at every level. So if you are trying to lose weight, it makes it harder. If you're trying to heal from a surgery or anything in your body, if you're not getting sufficient quality sleep, it really, you know, manifests in this, in your body's overall health and wellness.
And I see that in my migraine TMJ practice all the time.
You do.
We
yes.
just don't get more permanent stability and healing if the sleep's not working.
Yes.
They have to wear their splints the rest of their lives, yeah. because it's kind of a Band-Aid. We haven't really gotten to the root of the problem.
Yes. And that's the whole thing about holistic wellness is we want to get to the root problem of these and fix it, not just put Band-Aid solutions on it. So chronic mouth breathing is another thing that disrupts facial development and airway growth. You talk about that so much with the kids that you see in the dental office. It sets the stage for a lifelong disease and all sorts of problems. people need to know how important it is to breathe through their nose. That's the body part that filters and humidifies and cleans all of the air that goes into our lungs. So if we're breathing through our mouth, it's going to affect us in a negative way. So breathing, I'm also a breathing coach, and that is something I talk to clients about all of the time, is keep your mouth closed and breathe through your nose. And dentists are airway guardians, you know. With the right lens, they become wellness advocates, not just tooth mechanics. It's so much more than teeth, and that's why we named this whole movement, this whole newsletter and podcast, More Than Teeth, because it truly is about overall health and wellness. The two really do work together synergistically.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Okay, so in conclusion, we should talk about how we start our conversation with our team. Open, honest reflection about how we feel about sleep and what it does for us needs to happen in our office. That vision from the leadership of the dental office really is key. So let's ask, what's holding us back? You know, what are the barriers that we're experiencing? We mentioned a few in this series. And then once we've decided that we do want to screen, let's use tools like Stop Bing and Epworth Sleepiness Scale. For example, Stop Bing, if you get a yes on any of those, that's a risk factor for having sleep apnea. And then reframe, and I love this part, reframe your hygiene exam as a wellness screening or wellness exam. Because if the upper airway is compromised in any way, that upper airway is also the digestive system. And so you can have compromise on two major systems that keep the human body alive and flourishing. And you can identify those. The dentist really is a gatekeeper to identify those problems. And it becomes a whole body health.
It really does. The ADA also tied back systemic health, where cardiovascular and so many systems in your body depend on good oral health. And so that's not just plaque. That's talking about, you know, your heart, your lungs, all of those things. So as we end this podcast, that really is what we want to leave you with, is do you screen for sleep? And if not, why not? Maybe look at those barriers and start today adding something simple like working with your team and showing them how important it is for the health and wellness of your patients. You love them. You care about them. That's why I know Dr. Bennett went into dentistry, because he genuinely loves people and wants to help them. And I think that's the biggest reason you do what you do, right?
That's right. It's all worth it, for sure.
Yeah. So screening is so important.